Now, we can go on to the next one, which are what are the modifications? What are the modifications of these 24? So, here there are 24, 5, 6, 7, 8, 18, 19, 24. This 24 constitute the world and the 7 are its modifications. So, what are the modifications? We will read in verse number 7. Icha dvesha sukham dukham sanghatash chetanadhritihi etat kshetram samasena savikaram udahritam. So, Icha means desire and Dvesha means hatred, anger, whatever. Dvesha means hatred, dislike. Sukham, Dukham is joy and sorrow. And Sanghata means the assemblage, the totality of the whole thing. The 24 plus the 7, the 31 together is called Sanghata. Sanghata means assemblage. Total collection of all, just as you know, in a house you have steel and then you have iron and then you have copper and then you have stone and then you have wood and wires. When you collect all sanghata, it becomes a house. So here this body is composed of all of these together, sanghata, and then chetana. Chetana is a very interesting word, which means intelligence, not intellect. Intellect is the brain, but the capacity of the human to understand, to express, to function is called chetana or intelligence, and that is the totality, that is the total intelligence, and that is again a combination of what I have studied from my parents, what I was born with. You know, certain, you know, people are born with certain tendencies and certain knowledge. Like some people are good musicians from childhood, some people like sports. So, it is a combination of what I have born with, what I study from my parents, from my teachers in school, and from my guru. So, chetana is the intelligence and dhriti is fortitude. So, he says, Icha dvesha sukham dukham sanghatash chetana dhritihi etat kshetram samasena. This is called kshetram, but I have told it to you in brief. Because if you start describing every flower and every plant and every human and every animal and all the planets, it will take forever. And he says, you know, we have a war to fight. I don't have that much time to tell you everything. So, I can tell you in brief, samasena, savikaram udahritam, with its modification, savikaram. Udahritam has been said by me. So, we'll just spend a couple of minutes talking about each one of them. So, Icha and Dvesham. Icha means like. I like something and I want it and I have a desire. How does that arise? It arises from these 24. It's the modification, like my sense organs. You know, I see a piece of jewelry. My eyes see the jewelry and so the desire comes. I must buy it. But then I look at my wallet. You know, I don't have the money or my credit card is maxed. Then comes anger. You know, why can't I have it? You know, how come she has this jewelry? I don't have. And then I get upset at my husband. Or it could be other way around. I wanted to buy a car and then my neighbor has a better car. So, the desire arises from, again, from the contact of the sense organs with the sense objects. I see a new car, or on TV, they promote this, you know, new Mercedes or this new, what is that car which is all electric? Okay, Tesla, you know, and then I must get it. So, the desire comes and then when I don't get it or somebody becomes an obstacle in my desire, then I get hatred. Why is this person not, or I want a particular job. And the problem is that the desires are many, but the objects are limited. Now, there are 7 billion people. Every one of them cannot have everything they want every time. Like I apply for a job and there are 100 applicants, right? And only one person can get the job. So he will be happy. Aha, I got my desire. But the other 99 will be upset. You know, why didn't I get the job? Or in the Olympics, 200 or 300 people go, and then out of them, they have, you know, heats, and then they have quarterfinals, semifinal. In the final, there are 10 people, and only one wins the gold medal. And there are thousands of people throughout the world who were trying. So, desire, and then when I don't get what I want, I get hatred. And then that obviously leads to joy and sorrow. When I'm successful, things are going well, I'm happy. When things are not going well, you know, I have sorrow. You know, somebody used to love me, doesn't love me anymore. Or, you know, I mean, all those things. You know, I had this friend and now she doesn't return my phone calls. Or physically, there may be some, you know, change in my physical health. Or mentally or intellectually, I used to be so successful. And, you know, my product was sold everywhere in the world. And then suddenly now somebody came up with a better product. Now nobody wants to buy mine. All there are stocks of, you know, stuff lying unsold. So joy and sorrow is a result of all this. At the body level, it can be health or ill health. At the mental level, you know, somebody loves me, somebody doesn't love me. At the intellectual level, success and failure. So they calls joy and sorrow. Then Sanghata, I said, is total assemblage, the totality of everything, that peanut, that body that can be fit in a peanut shell, that is the totality, that is what we really are. I actually didn't know that. I read it somewhere. I hope it is correct, but that was some authoritative person who said the total amount of matter in your body can fit in a peanut shell. So, if you remove all the space and air and all that. Anyway, so that is the total assemblage. And then Chetana. Chetana, as I mentioned, is the intelligence. Is also called as brilliance. You know, Chetas means light. It means brilliance. So it is what distinguishes us from animals. It is what distinguishes us from birds and plants. They also have intelligence, but they have very limited intelligence. Like dolphins can be trained to do things, and monkeys can be trained, and whales can be trained, but they have very limited intelligence, while human has unlimited intelligence. There is nothing that we cannot accomplish, and that is again a direct gift from the Lord Himself. That's why they say God has been made in His, what was the exact word? He made Him in His image. The Bible says that God made man in His own image. That means we are the closest to that divinity, and that's why the divinity is very powerfully shining in all of us, and we have to make sure that we become worthy of that. That if I am in God's image, then I have to act like that. I have to make my actions divine. I have to love everybody just as God loves everybody. I have to love everybody unconditionally. That's why these saints are worshipped. Because they had universal love, because they were in touch. It's like somebody is in touch with that, you know, the transformer from the powerhouse. The current is so powerful coming from there, 10,000 volts, and then it gets distributed among the different houses, and it becomes 110 volts or whatever. So similarly, the saints are in touch with that original powerhouse, and they have that. But you and I are like that individual house who has 110 volts and all. So the goal of spirituality is to keep our touch constantly with our charged powerhouse. And that's how you can improve your intelligence and make yourself spiritually evolved. And then dhriti. Dhriti is a very beautiful word which means fortitude. The Gita spends a lot of time talking about dhriti. Dhriti means the ability to stick to a job and not give up regardless of the consequences. Once I decide I'm going to do it, I'm going to do it. I don't give up no matter what kind of obstacles come, what kind of problems come, what kind of opposition comes, and even people say don't do it. And dhriti is of three kinds. You know, dhriti could be good or dhriti could be bad. So the Gita describes dhriti as tamasic, rajasic and sattvic. Tamasic dhriti is the tamasic knowledge is that they take one small thing and think that to be the real, and that is the absolute thing. This little knowledge of mine is final and they don't listen to anybody else. So that breeds fanaticism. You know, this is the tamasic dhriti is the kind that what we recently saw, these, you know, gunmen who went and destroyed that mall in Nairobi. Why? Because they have this limited idea that this alone is right. And anybody who does not belong to our group or our religion or our faith or our... And it's a very, very limited understanding of what truly, you know, has been said. And so they focus on the little thing and think that alone to be the truth. And so that breeds... And it's not only in one religion. It is there in all. It is there. We find that in Christians. We find that in Hindus. We find that everywhere. This is called tamasic dhriti, where I get so focused on my point of view that I don't look at anybody else and I'm ready to even destroy people if they come in my path. So that is called tamasic. The second, which is a little better, is called rajasic dhriti, where he sees the differences. He says, okay, his opinion is different from mine, my opinion is different from hers. So he knows, at least his vision is a little better. But he is extremely selfish. So he says, I understand you are all there, but I want to be successful. And so he will, you know, and why? Because he has this desire to get more wealth or get more power, get more. And he may even know that what I'm doing is wrong. The tamasic man doesn't even think he's doing wrong. For him, he thinks I'm doing right because he has limited it. But the rajasic person knows, you know, it's not right to cheat others. But you know what? I want to make my business double. And this little shop across the street, I want to put him out of business. So he'll do anything and everything, undercut him, advertise. So rajasic people know that there are differences of opinion, know that there are different people, but out of selfishness or a desire to get more power, he might say, I know, you know, what I'm doing is not right, but, you know, he lets his conscience suppress. So that is called rajasic, where he sees everybody, but he understands. It's not that he doesn't know, but he does the wrong thing because he has this rajas, this excessive desire to succeed. And then sattvic dhriti is the strength we find in saints. You know, saints like Mirabai and Narsi Mehta and Tukaram and Sant Gyaneshwar and Jesus and all these great saints and prophets. Despite all the obstacles coming from their own family, coming from their surroundings, you know, look at Mirabai's life, how many problems she had. Look at Sant Gyaneshwar, he was, you know, in his own life, he was so many. Look at Jesus. So these people, these great saints, even Swami Chinmayananda, when he first started preaching and teaching, all the Brahmins used to curse him like anything. They used to say, you will be suffering in hell forever. Because you are preaching our Vedas in a Malech Bhasha, they used to call it, in English, which is a foreign tongue, and you are talking our worshipful Gita and Upanishads in English, you will suffer in hell forever. He had so much opposition, people would not give him a place to give lectures. One place he went to stay, the only house he was allowed to stay was a haunted house. He says, where ghosts live, and nobody goes there. And he was told to go and live in that haunted house. Nobody would give him a place. And it's very interesting. So they put him in this haunted house. And next morning, they wanted to see if this Swami is alive or dead, you know. He was very young and new at that time. And they went there and Swamiji was eating his breakfast, looked very happy. He said, Swamiji, are you okay? I am fine. So were there any ghosts? He said, yeah, there were ghosts in this house. Did they come and talk to you? He says, yeah. They did. He says, what did you do? He said, I asked them for a donation and they ran away. So dhriti is the ability to withstand the world's problems, but in a sattvic way. And the sattvic dhriti is what? That this whole universe is one. They are all me. I am one with all. So the one who sees oneness is called sattvic. The one who sees differences is called rajasic. And the one who sees very small and thinks it to be the whole is called tamasic. So dhriti can be of three kinds. So the ability to repeatedly stick to one's path despite opposition. And the tamasic people have dhriti too. You know, they go out, they went out and investigated that mall and they checked it out and they knew where the safe was and where they could hide safely. And you know, that's why it took them 4 days, and ultimately they had to destroy the whole mall to finish them off. So that is dhriti too. And a rajasic person who is working in his factory day and night in his business and never takes time off, that is dhriti also. He neglects his wife and children so he can make more money. So that is also dhriti. So dhriti is the ability to work consistently and with full effort in one particular direction. So these 31 is its sama kshetram savikaram, the field with its modifications. As you go through life, you get these particular modifications. Has been explained briefly in today's talk. I tried to summarize this. And then next week is actually starting a very beautiful portion of the Bhagavad Gita, which talks about the values of life. How I can evolve from kshetram to kshetrajnam. How I can evolve from the world to God. How can I become divine? So 20 values will be covered in the next few weeks. So we'll do that next week. Om sarve bhavantu sukhinaha, sarve santu niramayaha, sarve bhadrani pasyantu, ma kaschid dukha bhag bhavet. Om shanti shanti shantihi. Harihi Om Shri Gurubhyo Namah. Harihi Om. Thank you very much.